my appreciation for the overall lineup jumped early last week, and I can explain as we go along why.
So that's a little interesting. I think that's a conflict city for a lot of people that are into bass music, and
I am much more excited about this lineup. Yeah. It took 4 months.
That's what I was going to say.
Thursday, luckily, no conflicts because the What Pat podcast, you know, they're going to be doing their thing early, right? There you go,
unopposed,
guys.
Unopposed, baby. Unopposed. Welcome back to the What Podcast, the world's first and therefore oldest podcast dedicated to the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival, and also the most boomerish podcast in the world, whatever that means.
Is that right? Are you under attack?
It's funny you say you, because I am the boomer one, right?
Well, I act boomerish sometimes.
Sometimes you
I was going to say, of everyone on here, Brian, you come through with some of those takes.
Coming in hot.
Well, thanks for having me on. Anyways.
Hey, I'm Barry. That's Brian. And that's John. John, your paperwork went through. You're now an official part of the What Podcast. Sometime contributor. Glad to have you on, man. We're going to talk conflicts here in a little bit. We're also going to talk about a whole lot of other music and festival news as we do.
A beautiful weekend for it, and a beautiful weekend for one of the biggest Volkswagen shows in the Southeast, and that's where our compadre, Lord Taco, as we call him, is.
Bugapalooza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned. You guys will notice Russ is not with us. He is not only there because he is a VW bus owner, but he helps put this thing on. He's out there enjoying a gorgeous weekend in his bus. And I didn't realize this, Brian, or if I did, I didn't remember. He had took a picture of one you used to own.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. No, I sold mine. I got it in my early 20s and sold it. It's about the same style as Russ's, except it was never as good a shape. And I sold it in 2009. That's how long I haven't had it. So I didn't even know you yet by the time it was gone. And I still, to this day, especially like at the parade that we have, the Main Times 24 thing, that our December local kind of block party, city celebration kind of thing, I ride with Russ in his bus, or sometimes I've been in other people's buses. And almost every time I'll get out, done walking around, people are like, "Oh, man, I saw you, man. Your bus is looking great. Saw you in your bus." I'm like, "Yeah, man, it's awesome." Sure. Sold it 15 years ago. Wow. I don't have the expertise or the patience or the money to keep the upkeep of an old vehicle at all, but certainly an old Volkswagen that needs some kind of something.
Yeah, but think of how great it would be to get in that lifestyle again. You're already getting all the recognition and all that. Like, I know. Just fully buy in. Oh, man.
Well, when I had mine, first decade of the century, you could still buy and sell these things for a couple thousand dollars, $2,000-$4,000 maybe, and get some work done on it. Now, 10, 12, 15. I mean, the appreciation on these vehicles is really, really, really high. So
I would love to have
one. It's kind of like a boat, Barry. It's like a boat. It's like a pool, right? It's a boat. It's a pool.
Best you don't day, want worst day.
Yeah. You don't want them. You want to know people who have them. And luckily, I know a lot of people who do. So Russ is having a big time out there.
Best day when I bought it. Best day when I sold it. Yep. Yeah. I understand. It's a money pit. All right, let's get into some music news. John, you mentioned in the our pre-show meeting, you know, our extensive pre-show meeting with our multiple staff and all. you had a couple of things you wanted to talk about. We got Coachella this week, Halloween lineup. Let's talk a little bit about those kind of things. And like I said, later in the show, we're going to talk about, obviously the Bonnaroo actual lineup came out, and that always triggers the second, third best part of Bonnaroo. Best part is lineup day, schedule day, lineup day, and then schedule day. Yeah. Cause now we get to start talking about well, is the flicks.
Schedule but... day is the best of the worlds and the worst of the worlds.
Oh, yeah, it can be. It can be. But I'll just set it up real quick as far as Coachella, and then we'll get to Halloween. I mean, you're following this closer than me, John. I mean, there was heavy winds early out in California as the festival wraps up on our record day. So it just ended this past weekend. A lighting rig fell, I saw, and then Justin Bieber doing something odd with YouTube. Why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm following it closer, I guess, but still not that much. Like it seems like it's really heavy winds out there to the point where they had to cancel a Friday night like main stage closer. I can't remember how to pronounce who it was, but they
it's all good. I don't know who they are anyway.
They had to cancel it because the stage setup couldn't be built out in time in a safe way, so they had to cancel. Which sounds pretty crazy until. There's that other story of, you know, a lighting rig falling and hitting someone. I think I saw that they're all right. Like they went and got medical attention. They're all good. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy out there.
I have looked up countless times, Barry, maybe you have too, in major shows where everything's above you, especially some of those in the round deals. And I've always thought, man, that one bad connection away from all that coming down. I catastrophize. So, you know,
I mean, have you ever had the feeling like I do, maybe it's growing up on the Final Destination movies when we're in the tents at Bonnaroo and that big fan is up above you. I'm always just looking at it like, man, I hope that's really bolted in there.
So I guess you get behind a log truck and it
triggers. No, that's out of the question now.
Pull over, let it go by. Well, a couple of things. When we were talking about this before we started, I remember as soon as you said lighting rig, people might remember my age, us boomers. That's what paralyzed Curtis Mayfield with the
impressions.
Didn't know
that until
you mentioned
Mayfield, it,
yeah. Yep. Paralyzed him and eventually, you know, caused his death. I mean, it was years later. But yeah, I remember that. It's happened a couple of times. Our friend Brad Steiner, he and I went to Forecastle many, many years ago. The year prior he went, walked in, and if you know Louisville and Forecastle, it's underneath the freeway
bridge
goes right there by the river. He
huge
walked
storms,
in.
Right?
Well, two different things. The one year he went that I didn't go, he walked in and a chunk of concrete fell from the bridge about 10 feet in front of him.
Whew.
And bounced, and they had to cancel that night. The year that he and I went, we were standing by the river with my daughter, who was working for AC Entertainment at the time, and Jeff Cuellar, friend of the show, been on here many, many times. Longtime listeners will know that name. On his walkie-talkie, goes running toward the stage, and we can hear him yelling, "Shut it down, shut it down." And there was a storm like I've never seen before blew through, and all the stage and lighting and all that blew off. So... yeah, it does happen. It can happen. It's happened at Bonnaroo. We've all been there when they've had to shelter in place type of thing.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, well, I guess the Coachella situation could have been because of the winds. But either way, it looks like it turned out pretty good. And did you what was it that Bieber was doing? I mean, should I have done better research on this? Something about just searching YouTube and singing karaoke to his own song on stage? What the hell?
Yeah, he had a 90-minute headlining set.
90 minutes.
So the first 60 minutes, regular old set.
Okay.
The last 30 minutes, they brought out stool and table and laptop and everything, and he was pulling up YouTube videos of like his greatest hits and basically doing karaoke
and
to
just
him.
Singing. Wow, I thought that it just read weird. Yeah, I guess it sounds weird too. But Bieber's a different kind of cat.
There's a funny video out there of Katy Perry at that show saying, "Man, I'm glad he's got YouTube Premium. I don't want to see no ads."
That's funny.
That's funny.
Pretty good.
That is funny.
And so, but Halloween dropped their, it seems like it just happened because it was October
Tuesday.
two seconds ago. Well, the festival itself, it feels like it just happened because time flies. But yeah, they dropped their lineup in a quick glance. I like the looks of it, but your Hulu is one of your, I mean, it's on Bonnaroo level for you, right?
Yeah, I always like to tell people, you know, Bonnaroo's home. That's my home festival. It always will be. But Hulu is my favorite. I really like Huluween. I mean, I have the String Cheese Incident flag up above me right now. They're my favorite band on the planet, and this is their festival, so I love it. But
what's the difference?
What's the difference? Yep. Huluween is much more of the music and arts, that arts part is all caps. They really go all out with that. They have an area called Spirit Lake that is beyond anything you'll find at any other festival. It's incredible in there.
And this is in the Suwannee, right? In the North Florida Panhandle, right?
Yep, Spirit of Suwannee Music Park. It's directly, I mean, equidistant between Tallahassee and Jacksonville.
And so, I mean, I'm just glancing at it quickly. Looks pretty solid. What is their mission statement as a festival? We don't need to do this long. I know I should already know this. Are they, I mean, EDM is something they've gotten into, or they've been heavy on that? Because this has got a little more rock on it than I would have expected, but maybe that's just because I'm dumb.
Yeah, so it's the String Cheese Incidents Festival. So they're a very, you know, they're a huge jam band. They play in the electronic space. Their team curates that lineup and also like designs the main stage for Cheese, and everybody plays on it. So their hand is kind of all in it. So it's pretty eclectic. It's very jammy. It's got the EDM side of it. Man, it's great. I mean, My Morning Jacket on there. They played in 2021 there as well. Just fantastic. Pretty Lights. Yeah. That's always a fun time. And then they always like to do this thing where they get, you know, kind of an up-and-coming headliner for it. So this year it's going to be Geese.
Yeah, there's Geese again, showing up just about everywhere these days. And you got Of the Trees, who've been just continually making more and more noise on my radar, the little radar I have on EDM. Then down the way here, you got Dope Lemon, which was one that many of us were excited about for the one day Aru, for Rain Out Aru. Eggy Lettuce. I mean, it's pretty loaded with
Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Like that's gonna be a fantastic show. I saw them at Bonnaroo in 2019 noon on a Sunday. It was a brutal time slot.
Yeah,
it might have been Saturday or Sunday, one of those days. They're just great. And then six sets of Cheese. It's always a good time down there, man.
Talk about how that art thing, what does that mean in reality? I mean, I know the Bonnaroo used to have it's Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival. And I know in the early days, there used to be a lot of art installations, especially out in GA, that were kind of interactive. Simple things like the stands were yarn. People could go could, you know, move the yarn so every time you win, it looked different. But what do you mean? I mean, are you spending a lot of time in these art installations versus music, or are they near the music? What do you mean?
Yeah, so there's at Hula, the setup is they have the main stage field where there's two stages that do the kind of back and forth situation. One ends, the other starts. And then there's this area over here where there's a couple more stages around it's a pond, but they call it Spirit Lake. And then all of the art is around that. And I'm going to sound like a Spunion when I say, like, it's really hard to describe everything that's in there. It is so jam-packed full of crazy stuff. Like, there's a giant spider that you can climb into the spider's butt, and there's, like, all this crazy stuff in there. There's
as one does.
Who hasn't been there?
Or at least thought about it, right?
There's a giant mural maze, so like a bunch of local artists will put together murals and they turn it into a big maze you can walk through. There's this thing called the House of Lost, which, I mean, you're just gonna need to Google that one. It's a really interesting time. So, and then the lake itself, they have this whole light show and projection mapping on like water shooting up like 3D project. It is
that's cool.
One of the most next level things you can ever see.
That's cool.
Well, you're not surprising me too much. I mean, Caleb, a regular yearbook guy, is a big fan. Several from the ethos of the Rubus. I can't remember everybody's names. I apologize. Big Hulu.
Yeah.
I always say
Halloween.
Halloween.
Yeah, like a hula hoop.
Hulu. I can't even get the goddamn name right. My bad. But it does look cool. But I'm not a big what the hell's going on in October, the holiday? Halloween. I'm not a big Halloween guy, so I tend to shut down in October. But
yeah,
the lineup looks good. It looks really, really good.
Yeah, and like you just said, a lot of the people that we know talk about the art installations and how cool that is. So
And one other thing about it, it's in a year-round campground. Yeah. So there's like camping infrastructure there, shower buildings, real bathrooms, and sometimes if it gets cold enough and the weather has been totally right, you're allowed to have campfires. Like, it's a whole vibe.
Well, this is where Wani used to be, where the Allman brother, Greg Allman, curated shows. That was Government Mule, oftentimes Widespread Panic, and any variation of Allman Brothers, 10 years ago, something like that. I never made it down. It's one state away from where I live, and I never made it. So it sounds like I've always heard of how beautiful of a location and a venue it is. Quickly on festivals in the South going on this week, actually, I just saw this from my notes. I just want to say to everybody involved with Sweetwater 420, good luck, and I hope it works out well for you. They have beautiful weather, it looks like, in Atlanta. But as pedestrian and boring of a lineup as the Sweetwater 420 Festival has ever had, and I've gone many times. It's one of my favorite festivals, and it's just not what it once was. So Humphreys McGee and Thievery Corporation are the only two bands that anybody really knows all that much about. And I know they've been, their social medias have been basically begging you to buy tickets, it feels like. And they're very, very cheap, but I truly mean that. I'm not even trying to be a smartass. I love the Sweetwater 420 organization and the beer and the brand and the festival. And I really hope it goes well this weekend at their new venue. So
yeah, I've been to Sweetwater 420 Fest before. Had a fantastic time when it was still the full bore type experience that it was.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago, 10 years or less, that it was the jam band festival in the Southeast. And money and logistics and laws in Georgia, and there's a long story as to why. So I hope it goes well. I'm not being smart.
Brian, how's the training going? You ready? You ready for this 5K?
Oh, how's the training going? Yeah, registration for the Roo Run just dropped in the last few days. Kyle Bonaruvian, our buddy.
He's the leader in the clubhouse, right? He's the one to beat.
He's there the minute it's open to get the coolest number. Remember, he's at 69, 420, 99. He even hit me up. I was like, hey, man, go with me early. We'll get the best numbers. I was like, dude, I hear you. I love a good number.
He was so proud to let us know he got 420 that year.
Oh, I know. And that guy, awesome. You can just see him walking up. I mean, that guy's a runner. Like, that's just what he does.
Yeah, that's his warm-up. He does and then he runs again.
I'm looking at one of the big of the many, many, many disappointments of the washout of 25 is not doing the Roo Run. A year later, Barry, I am ready. It ain't going to be nothing. The only thing that would mess it up is if we get a really hot, muggy, rainy, muddy, bad Saturday, like just for terrain of trying to run around. But if it's just warm morning, I'm down. Yeah. Can't wait. That one's been on my radar since January of 25. Yeah. So, I'm ready for it.
I'm a little, it was disappointing that it got rained out last year, but I'm a little grateful for it. I'd signed up. I was ready to do the Roo Run last year.
Oh, really?
But that tipper show that was going to go till 2:30 a.m. Friday night, I was just staring at me.
It's going to make it tough.
I was like, I don't know how well this is going to work.
Was that going to be your first attempt at the Roo Run?
Yeah, it's been a bucket list. I mean, I've been going to festivals for a long time, and it's those 5Ks have always been a bucket list item for me. I was like, I'm finally going to do it.
Why is that? Just to knock one of the options off, or do you enjoy running? Or
I do like running. I kind of picked it up more during COVID when everything shut down. It was the only thing to do. But yeah. It's just always been, you know, there's all these little things all over a festival that you always want to try and see and do all that. So that was one that always kind of escaped me and wanted to do it.
Well, I was going to do it later, but that's a pretty good segue. One of those little things is all of the charities that happen at Bonnaroo. And once again, this year, the What Podcast has been asked to host a panel discussion inside, what is the tent?
The Planet Roo tent.
Planet Roo.
Yeah.
We will be on stage, Brian, Russ, and I, and we will be talking about what all is going on inside Planet Roo this year. Last year we had some city officials. That was so much fun. That was one of the highlights of Bonnaroo for me and my career, to be honest. And I think, Brian, you kind of feel the same way to do that.
Yeah. That was a big time. And that their footprint is, the Planet Roo footprint is as big as it's ever been. Yeah. And almost as we all are kind of like, you know, we get to anything in corporate America, you get, you know, like, wonder how long they're going to let us keep doing this.
Right.
And they're letting them keep doing it. Thanks to Bonnaroo for having the understanding and putting the resources into advocacy like this, which it's just, it's not all beating you over the head with activism kind of stuff, but there's some of that. And then there's just conservation efforts and lots of little things like that. Plus, it is the biggest tent shade of tent you're going to find in the whole damn place. So come on and hang out.
And I think we can announce now that the schedule is out, we will be there at 4 o'clock on Thursday doing our thing. Center Roo opens not much earlier than that. So there's not really a whole lot else to do. Music starts at 5:30 on Thursday. So you might as well come by and, check us out, check out Planet Roo, check out all the charitable things that are going on. You know you're going to be looking, especially you people who have never been, you're going to be wandering around trying to figure out what the hell this Center Roo thing is and where everything is. And
it's a very nice centrally located area. Shade. Lots of vending around there. You want to grab some beers, some lemonade, some coffee. They got whatever you want right around there. So it's a great location.
The fountain. Find the fountain and then turn right. You'll find
turn
us.
Around.
Very, very excited about it. Also, I think can we announce, Brian, we're going to do some of the radio? We're going to do something with the radio?
Yeah, we can announce that. We'll do that quickly, and then we'll break, and then we'll come back and get into this lineup. Yeah, so Radio Roo, as I famously said, that it ain't coming back. Well, it is coming back, and not to the way that I would like it. That's another story for another day, but I'm very satisfied with what they're doing, and we will have some programming on there. Absolutely. All those details will be closer to the end of May before anybody. I mean, they're just not to be known. It's not like, don't tell anybody.
Yeah,
there's nothing to tell. they don't know yet, but the formatics, they do. And the players and who's going to be involved, they do. And we are one of those as well. So we will tell you more about that towards the middle and end of May.
Yeah. And our friends with the Real Roo Bus and the Roo Ham guys are also doing panel discussions and radio. Radio Bonnaroo or Bonnaroo. Do we ever decide? Is it Radio Bonnaroo or Bonnaroo?
I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah,
it's Radio Bonnaroo. That's what we call it. For 10, 12 years. Now, these days, I don't think that's what they want to call it anymore. If they tell me to call it Bonnaroo Radio, I will.
Yeah.
But there's, he's wrong. It's not called that. No, I'm not wrong. They might have changed it. Anyway, semantics here. It's semantics. It doesn't matter.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back, and we're going to go over, we're going to get especially John's conflicts.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
All right, and we're back. And as we mentioned at the front, part of the fun of Bonnaroo is the conflicts. Is fun, is that the right word?
It's dastardly. That's
what it is. There you go. I like that word, dastardly. Yeah.
It's the angst. It's what causes all of the frustration, but also what we love. It's like, how are you going to take it all in?
Well, a couple of things before we get right into it. First of all, sorry to be so late on this, but nobody ever tells us anything anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad about it. We just do this show as it flies. We know how this goes these days. But for some reason, this year, it's actually quite puzzling that it almost bothers me. Why doesn't Bonnaroo hype, tease, or promo seemingly anything this year? All the way from the lineup on December 2nd, we knew, like, we meaning anybody, y'all, us, everybody, that it would be dropped within like 15 hours or something like that. It was just basically like, oh, wake up, it'll be there in the morning. Like, what? What are you talking about? Same deal with many of the other timeline of the last 2.5 months and all the way to this, to the schedule. I mean, the schedule lineup is a huge day, and we do our show on Sunday, wake up on Monday, early morning, and there's the schedule, and nobody knows. It seems like the most bizarre way to release information. That's just a standalone
thought. I do feel like in years past, you know, it's, hey, lineup's coming on the 12th.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
Everything.
This time, it was like Sunday night, maybe. I think there was like one Instagram comment somewhere where it's like, hey, schedule's coming tomorrow.
Yeah. That's not an announcement.
Yeah.
It's just the wildest thing because of all the, I don't need to explain.
It's completely different than it used to be, for sure.
There's got to be a strategy there. I just can't for the life of me figure out what it is. Either way, it's here. And also, too, before we forget, because we're so scattered, Barry, our guy Lindsay.
Yep.
Put together these the downloadable schedules that you can print off, which a lot of people do these days. Check for accuracy,
as
I used to do these years ago and would notorious for getting them wrong, and I missed entire shows once because
I had Camp Nut Butter. Yeah, right there at Camp Nut Butter, we had laminated schedules put together by none other than Brian Stone hanging from the pole.
Hanging from inside the living room area, so if you needed the schedule, you just pull it up, take a look, put it back.
And people would look at it and say, that was last night.
It was only wrong like twice. Like, it wasn't every time. Anyway, these things are huge. People now make them in little pocket size. You can clip it to the side of your bag or the side of your belt. I mean, we're all living on our phones, but who wants to pull their phone out and pull this crap out? Nobody does.
Also, pulling out your phone, I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed it. I feel like it just kills the battery.
Isn't that one of our buddy Brad Stein, or wasn't that one of his tips, is to put your particular schedule as your screensaver?
Yeah.
So that you didn't, like you just were alluding to, Johnny, you weren't eating up your phone. It was right there.
That certainly is helpful. If you're like me, I'm not a Luddite, but I fumble around trying to change wallpaper screens. I don't really feel like dealing with that. No, I'm a big fan. I'm an analog guy, you know. Give me a clipboard and a piece of paper. But so Lindsay's got those out there. I think you can get them on Reddit Loophole. At some point they'll be everywhere. But thank you, Lindsay, for doing that. And anybody else who puts, sometimes those these days they kind of get generated by themselves,
sure,
in certain apps and things. But once upon a time you really had to do some work on those. Those are the unsung heroes there. But thank you, Lindsay, for that. So let's get into the lineup, the schedule. I want to say quickly, and I don't want to do much on this because I'm the wrong guy to talk to, so I won't take up much time here other than the initial here. This lineup, overall lineup of this band, this festival, got a lot better when I looked at this schedule for me. These things fall in a way that makes days I thought were going to be worthless or very uselessness would be on a higher level. And the way it's fallen on these stages, especially the what, I went, my appreciation for the overall lineup jumped early last week. And I can explain as we go along why. But John, your thoughts on initial glance and then a further study of this year's schedule.
So on initial glance, when it comes to conflicts, Thursday, luckily no conflicts because the What podcast, you know, they're going to be doing their thing early, right? There you go,
unopposed,
guys.
Unopposed, baby, unopposed.
as the whole festival goes on, for me at least, the conflicts get worse and worse and worse. Starting out with, you know, none on Thursday. Friday, there's a couple on there. Saturday, it starts getting real spicy. And then Sunday, it always happens on Sunday, right? They got to compress the whole thing, and it just, it turns into a mess for me.
So for first-timers who have not been, when we say conflicts, I mean, it's pretty self-evident. It means there are two bands or three bands playing at the same time. But I also want to point out, like, some festivals, you mentioned earlier, like Hulaween, John, where there are the main stages, you know, one stops, the other ends. That doesn't happen at Bonnaroo. There are stages going all the time. And while they are relatively close to each other, they're not really. And I do think it's a big deal that the Ware stage is back in Centaroo. I do think that is a plus, and we'll probably talk about that later, but I just want to point that out.
There's a little bit of that alternating going on, and especially this year when moving that tent into the What field, for sure those are staggered the whole time.
Yeah.
What point. And which usually they bop back and forth. They'll sometimes do, you know, a 15-minute overlap, but for the most part they do kind of do that. But it doesn't matter. You get clashes. You get clashes real bad. Every year it's come on. So,
everything's staggered, as per usual. I saw this somewhere else, maybe read it, and I haven't fully fact checked it, but I think the only show, it could be the only show all weekend or one of the few that are exactly head to head, is on Friday with Wet Leg and Mother. And a lot of people I know there's some crossover in those two bands, and they are 6-7 both. And there's a little bit of a why would you do this to me, Bonnaroo, sentiment out there.
That's sentiment. A pretty brutal one. And on top of that, you know, I talked about this group last time I was on here, figured out how to pronounce it now because of this show. Lazewo is at the same time. And that's crushing me. Wet Leg and Lazewo are two that.
Oh, on the other. Other.
Yep. I really, really like both of them, and that stings.
Well, I'll tell you, on Friday, just something that really excited and surprised me. I mean, surprise isn't even the right word. Shock, even. That Blues Traveler is on the What stage at 4:45. Ugh. Yeah. Thank you so much. I mean, Blues Traveler is not one of my favorite 90s bands, but I certainly love all 90s music, and I like them just fine, and I don't want to see them in a tent. I don't.
Right.
And the last time they played Bonnaroo, which was about 8 or 9, it was in a tent. And I did go see it then. On the What, with him wailing on it, John Popper wailing on that harmonica and some of those rock tunes. I know some of it's a little lullaby. And then leading up after that to Youngblood with Wet Leg in between on The Witch. Yep. I mean, this is the main stage Friday for me. I mean, Mount Joy just a little bit later on The Witch, The Strokes later that night, Turnstile later. I mean, this is a main stage, two-screen experience, as you hear out there, a two-stage experience for me on Friday.
That Mount Joy set, 10 to 11, is going to be monstrous. That show is going to be so good.
They've really been, I mean, I've seen their popularity just has really, really, I don't know if exploded is the right word. It's been an overnight success after 15 years kind of thing. You know, I mean, I've been watching this for a while.
Right.
So go ahead.
There are a couple other things in that sort of area of the schedule that I do want to point out because they're interesting.
Yeah.
In particular, side piece and Clooney overlapping with the headlining show of the Strokes. That's an interesting one to me. I know Bonnaroo has kind of gone back and forth on this over the years of like headliners unopposed, they're not, all that stuff.
Yeah, they've gone away from that for the most part.
Yeah, you still see it every once in a while.
A little bit, yeah.
Rufus is almost totally unopposed Saturday, but that was interesting to me. I mean, I guess real househeads that like Sidepiece and Clooney, like they don't give a crap about the Strokes. So
probably not. I'm looking at now. Sidepiece to Clooney is between 10:15 and then 1 a.m. So yeah. that gobbles up the whole Strokes show. Yeah.
Yep.
If you wanted to do both, you're going to have a difficult time enjoying both, I would say.
Yeah.
That whole night, I like the end of that Friday night with the Strokes. I mean, I hear more people talking about Turnstile.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And then you got that. You can get Little John. And then, you know, last time you were on, John, talking about the Wear. I mean, you can end the whole night or go on into the morning, you know, with Richard Finger, Easy Baked, and Lumasi, right? I mean,
what's interesting with this is Ganja White Knight and Enzo, and then that lineup on the Wear. You look at a Venn diagram of fans that like, you know, Ganja and all those other groups. It's basically just one circle. So that's a little interesting. I think that's a conflict city for a lot of people that are into bass music and what that's going to do.
And they're on literally either side of the farm in Centaroo. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's kind
close
of in
enough,
that.
But,
yeah, it's on that. What direction is that?
Main
west?
Stretch
east?
Back there from where to other across. Yeah.
So you can choose.
I mean,
sorry, go ahead, John.
I just want to point out one other thing while we're on kind of the bass music thing, which is this is kind of a big deal. Grizz on the What stage. He played the What stage in 2023 as, you know, replacement for RKS, doing his Chasing the Golden Hour thing. But this is like a full bore dubstep throwdown Grizz set on the What stage, which I don't know. I mean, we had Pretty Lights. We had Odessa. We've had some of those other acts, but I don't know if there's been a true, like, bass throwdown on the What stage before.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't really paying attention. I kind of forget who Grizz is. It also fits in a little musically asymmetrical with Blues Traveler, Youngblood, Strokes, and then in between there, Grizz. Yeah. It's kind of like Billy Strings and Tool many years ago. Like, I mean, yeah, we'll probably all watch all of this stuff. But, I mean, and What does these things a lot there. I mean, it's not like they're dumb and they didn't pay attention to that. But that's an interesting thought, too. I'm glad you brought that up that
and
way.
And Geese, now that tent's in the field right before Grizz.
I was going to go with that. And I, in case you don't know, John, anybody who might, you know, straggle in occasionally and not know, I am still struggling with this, that tent being out in the What field. I'm struggling with this. I have to see that it works before I'm excited about it. But that's part of the shock, too, that I figured for sure Geese would get the 2 o'clock What stage or the 3 o'clock What stage, that up-and-coming rock band, one of my favorites that I can think of from the last 5-6 years, Catfish and the Bottlemen. I don't even think they're a band anymore. And they were hitting this big, like, push, and they got the 1 o'clock What stage, and it was amazing. I loved it. One of my favorite shows ever. And I could see them doing that with Geese, and they didn't. They put them on to that and put Blues Traveler instead.
But if you look at the times, it is that one stops, one starts. They're like, you know, right on it. 7:45.
Exactly. Well,
then that tent starts. So that's
Bonnaroo's
cool.
First official area of the festival where it is a straight start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And
you literally
I think that's
could,
a good part.
You
I think
literally could find your spot in the middle of that field and not leave all day.
I am very curious to see what the experience is like in that field this year. It could just kind of become a little bit of a mess.
It could
muck
it all up. Yeah.
Yeah. I could, you know, with festivals that do this kind of back and forth thing, people will set up a whole living room there and they ain't moving.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to be all day.
I like it. And I didn't we talk about before whether we wondered when the wear stage, their timing, so it doesn't even get going till 11:15 on Friday.
Oh, yeah. 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 They're late.
So it's late night stuff. So that's, I like it. I like that stage there. I think that was a good move.
I agree. And I am so shocked with how little there is on this lineup that I care about that this Friday is so lined up for me to see stuff all day.
Yeah.
Friday, I don't like the lineup except for here are all the things I want to see on Friday. Now that changes as the weekend goes along. We'll move to Saturday here in a second. But yeah, Friday rocks for me. Yeah, I'm really happy about that. Any other thoughts on Friday, John?
Along the lines, let me jump on, sorry to interrupt, but we led, we're calling this sort of conflicts, but pretty good day, right? Not too bad.
Yeah. If at least for me, this is, kind of middle of the road, what I expect. Late night is always just a mess. Right? Everyone wants to see Turnstile. Lots of people want to see Lil Jon. That always happens every late night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People are heartbroken over Lil Jon and Turnstile side by side. Heartbroken over that.
That's a tough one for a lot of people. But I'd say in general, this isn't too bad. For Bonnaroo conflicts for me.
Yeah, and cool. The good thing with this and which, if you get where that conflict is, I mean, they're right there.
Yeah.
You really can bounce. You can go see Lil Jon and Turnstile. You can see them both.
Did y'all dip out of any of My Morning Jacket in 23 to go see Korn at this time?
Oh, hell yes, I did.
Let's go.
Hell yes,
That might have been one of my favorite sets of that
Well,
year.
That's the classic case of there was 80,000 people at Bonnaroo and they all went to the Korn show.
Yeah. it was tough getting in there.
Just the buzz afterwards was like, you missed the Korn show? Are you crazy? And then, My Morning Jacket played for like 2 hours after that.
Yeah, so. It was great. We saw first hour of My Morning Jacket, went and saw Korn, came back. My jacket's still playing.
I don't want to dwell too much on the past of these things since we're looking at this year, but boy, what a year, what a day, what a night that was.
Yeah. So shall we delve in on Saturday?
Let's go.
Let's turn the page.
Man, this is where things start to get rough. It has some of the stuff I'm most excited for, but it gets rough in here.
Well, my quick notes were on the days. Friday is my day. Saturday, just enough. Sunday, see you, bye. So you take Saturday, John, and start talking conflicts and what works and doesn't work, you think.
The first conflict that comes up for me is Mountain Grass Unit and the 2:30 p.m. sun. I'm really excited for Mountain Grass, but
that sun can be a hell of a conflict.
Woo! It's going to be tough.
Especially when you've been up till 6 the night before or the morning.
Yeah. Yep.
Comes early, doesn't it?
That's a tough one. I go pretty good for a while. Nikita the Wicked, Tash Sultana, Emil, and Sniffers. And then the most... We said devious earlier. The most devious thing I have ever seen, Alabama Shakes against Passion Pit.
Yeah.
That one.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Burns, man.
I forgot about Passion Pit. Yeah, there's all kinds of Shakes fans that have throwbacks with Passion Pit, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's again, that same thing. Your Venn diagram of people that are fans of Alabama Shakes and Passion Pit, it's just
all
one circle.
They're all in the same place, yeah.
Yeah. That one.
Well, Barry, that's the crowd control, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's straight up. That's all about crowd control. They're not trying to piss you off. That's what that's about.
Yeah. I mean, the Shakes back together after 10 years, new music out.
Doesn't go with what I was saying before. Passion Pit on this, Shakes on what?
Yeah, that's
You're
not
seeing
easy.
Both. That's You're not seeing
easy.
Both.
That is not an easy get. Too.
I have a general rule I go by to help with conflicts where it's the first criteria is what's the rarity of the act. That's number one. How likely am I to see them again or have seen them before? I have seen Alabama Shakes a good number of times.
It's a good evaluation, yeah.
But like you said, they've been, you know, Brittany Howard's doing her own thing for a while. They've been kind of split up.
Yeah,
like,
10 years. That.
The second criteria is who's got the bigger stage. Usually those are going to be some like pretty massive, memorable shows.
I say, do you prefer the bigger stage? Because I do.
Yeah. When everything's tied, pick the bigger stage. Yeah. It's going to be, it's more likely probably to build that memory for you, in my opinion.
I would add, what's the easier or better lead up?
Yeah.
Which one can you get to, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before and still be entertained and get a good spot?
And maximize your value of your decision.
Yeah.
So I have to pick Alabama Shakes in that one, but man, it stings. I was so excited seeing Passion Pit on when the lineup came out.
Well, this is another one where a couple of these, Tash and RC Drive, those are ones that I've been told, make sure you know them better before you get there. Both on the What stage, Shakes, Neighborhood, another day of all day What acts that even if I don't know them that well, I know I probably will like them. So this is 2 days in a row of the What just making me happy.
Well, let's throw in a little spice into that with this other thing that's hanging out there. You see Steve and Corey Are Dead on the Where stage?
Yeah.
So that is confirmed. That's your boy Corey from C3 and Steven what's his last name who books the lineup?
I
think it starts with a G.
Yeah, his brother camped with us, Brian, for many years.
Wait, I'm hung up on Corey.
Corey Smith.
Yeah. I'm new to this. What are we talking about? Steven, Corey, or Dead? It's a great band.
That is a good band name.
They're gonna get up on the Where stage that time and play just as a tribute to Bob Weir. They're gonna play some of their favorite Dead recordings.
Oh, Are Dead?
Yeah.
I was wondering why Bonnaroo was ignoring the fact that one of the most legendary counterculture co-lead men and just passed away. So maybe this is that. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So those two are going to get up there, and they got some of their favorite, Dead recordings over the years that they want to play out for the crowd.
I already got
a confirmation. They've got a good morning dew lined up for it. So but at the same time as Alabama Shakes and Passion Pit.
Oh, wow.
That's brutal.
Green. That's an hour and a half set, too.
Stephen Green.
Man, I'm going to, and Corey can play now. Like he's in, the boot scooting Boogie Nights, and Corey's a player. He's not just showing up,
Well, so along those lines, back to your criteria, John, that means they'll be playing on the Where.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy enough get to.
Where to this you could do. Now, most people, we're having fun because these are friends of ours. Most people don't care a thing about Corey and Steve or Dad. So, but now you've just messed up my Saturday, John. But I'm,
told you Saturday starts getting rough, man.
It's a happy surprise. I'm glad you threw that in there. Rainbow Kitten Surprise with the Sniffers and Weird Al and Teddy Swims all up and down the lineup there on another day of What and Which really satisfying me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see our friends Flip Turn.
Yes.
I got a thought on that. I'll come right back to it in a second.
The RKS, they have that. I mean, the best slot in live music is the Which stage at that time. And
yeah.
At
dusk. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
It's all Cage there at dusk in 17 or 18. I'd only heard of Cage the Elephant. And then I walked away from that like, oh God, that band is amazing.
Yep.
That's a good time to go get a spicy pie or something, with all the food vendors right there to get ready for the rest of the night. So yeah, that is a good slot.
So long. So then go ahead.
The Super Jam afterwards. I'm really excited for that. We'll get into more Kesha on Sunday, but I'm real excited for that. And the only thing that can possibly pull me away for a little bit at the end is going to be to go see Flip Turn. I've seen him a good number of times now, most recently 2 weeks ago at Okeechobee down in Florida. What they are doing now on stage compared to even a year ago or more, it's that show has gotten good.
Okay, like, well, that's awesome. That's going to lead me to my complaint about this a little bit more then. Also, as I look right there before I get to that, I just hadn't looked that close. The conflicts and just traffic jam of all the way across, start left and go all the way right in the neighborhood of, sorry for the pun, the band neighborhood, and 6 to 8 o'clock, Shakes, Neighborhood, Rainbow Kitten Surprise, Teddy Swims, Super Jam, Flip Turn, Sarah Landry.
Yep.
Those are all basically happening at the same time. Those are huge names on and covering so many genres. That's pretty remarkable for a lineup. Again, I thought wasn't any good. I'm looking at it and seeing a lot of stuff that really is very, very good and conflicted out big time. But let me talk about Flip Turn real quick. We joke that, you know, we're good buddies with them. We do know them. We've talked to them a few times, and I'm a big fan of their music. I kind of find this to be a big kick in the you-know-where. They're on the That tent at 10 o'clock out in the What Field in the experimental setup, staring at the stage that Flip Turn was supposed to be playing on last year. Remember, Flip Turn was on the What around 4 or 5 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday. They even had a little post where they had him on there, and the dude was behind his drums, and it was kind of like, thank you, Bonnaroo, and the place was empty, and it just kind of playing, you know, poking fun at themselves in the situation and having fun with it. I'm like, really? You're going to put them on the tent staring at the stage that they probably thought they were having their groundbreaking moment as a band 1 year ago? Maybe I'm overthinking it.
So, Brian, I'm actually in the opposite camp here.
Really?
Because I saw that time slot. You're in the field right before Rufus Du Sol, who's going to, I mean, just melt that field down.
So
that
is
populated. Amazing. Yes.
Very populated. There's nothing else except Costa. That's a good point, John.
Yeah, that is for music fans out there. That Flip Turn into Rufus,
it's gonna be a big crowd, isn't it?
Ooh, it's gonna be awesome.
Okay, fair.
That's a good pull, good catch.
But boy, I don't know. This is also just my romanticization of the What stage. I just think it is the pinnacle of a place to perform. That's all. I just, and my butt hurtness over that being out there to begin with. But hey. Hey, I hear you. You're right. They're going to have a hell of a crowd. And they don't need, I mean, they're going to have a hell of a crowd anyway because their popularity is there. Yeah, that's why I think they should be on the What.
Yeah.
But, hey.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just, I think kind of settling in on Flip Turn into Rufus is going to make for a magic night.
It's just every few years or maybe every single year, I'd have to go back and look, but there's that, and I use the example of Catfish and the Bottlemen back in 2019. There's one of those bands they put up there that maybe doesn't necessarily deserve it based on, you know, metrics or whatever, and it just seems to be special every time.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Interesting.
Anything else on Saturday before we turn the page, as we're already motoring through a long show again today?
Again, that Saturday night's a mess. I mean, Weird Al, the OCs, Freddie
Does Weird
Gibbs.
Al do much for it? Do you need to see that? Does your youth make you need to, or do you not care?
I want to see him. It's more of a curiosity. Like, I think that's going to be fun. I would like to do that.
It's just going to be kind of fun.
This happened in past years where, you know, after Tool, I ended up at 100 Gex, and after the Chili Peppers, I ended up at, who's that band? Idols. So, I have a feeling the OCs would be calling my name that night.
Well, I didn't mean to downplay Weird Al. I just mean there's just so much else also going on that you know, I don't know that Weird Al is a must-see for a lot of people, but for me, it certainly is.
And then, I mean, that run, Closey, big, gigantic, Smokeland, and then Effin is the craziest time slot I've ever seen. They go until 6:30. That's not even a sunrise set. That's the sun is up.
Set. Yeah, that's just, you're on the next day, dude.
Yeah, you're playing Sunday morning.
Yeah. We ran out of room on the Sunday side, which is not true because there's lots of room on that page.
I would go back and put Weird Al in that, am I ever going to see this again? category. Yeah. So I would highly recommend people at least do a walk by, because you're not going to get to see that kind of
thing. Yeah, and he's in his 60s. He looks great.
Yeah.
But he's in his mid 60s. So like this act's not gonna keep rolling for forever. And I don't know. I mean, do you need the nostalgia? Maybe we got a few different age ranges here. Do you need the nostalgia for Weird Al? If you don't know the 80s and 90s of what he did with the Michael Jackson spoofs and Nirvana and all those things, do you need context? You look at this old guy and think, what is this weird-ass stuff?
Right. I have a feeling, like we said, it's going to be fun. I think no matter what age.
He runs around with a poke, like an accordion, and like some of it's not like clearly parody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did you need to be that certain age range in 2019 to have fun at the Lonely Island? Like, that show was great.
Yeah.
That was a blast. It was a laugh. It was a goof. It was fun. I think Weird Al can do that same.
And he's good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
he's excellent. He's really good at what he does. I am in love with Weird. I can't wait for it. I can't wait for it. Barry, you want to take a break and then knock out Sunday at the end here?
Yeah, let's do it. Take a break. All right, and we're back. Let's close this thing out, guys. We've already found some conflicts. It's not too bad like some years past where, like, every time slot has major conflicts, so I think we're all in agreement. So far, the lineup works out pretty well for us.
Yeah, before I hand it back to you, John, because this seems to be your account here for today, for Sunday, it's a third day in a row for me for a strong what? Allie and AJ to trombone to Tedeschi. Role model, I don't know the first thing about, but I'm sure it'll fit in fine. And then Noah Kahan. I mean, that's a full day of music that blends together well, I believe. And if you wanted to just spend your day there, you could. You know, and then outside of that, there's not a whole lot left for me on Sunday. So I'll let you pick it up from there.
I'm going to hit you with a Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, my friend.
So for me, Sunday is all about Everywhere Else. Everywhere Else. I do like Tedeschi Trucks Band. I think Derek Trucks is one of the most talented guitarists
100%
out there.
They will play a theater near you soon. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So going back to the bands you won't see somewhere else, you can see Tedeschi Trucks.
I'll stop short of saying my joke about lesser bands. They'll play your backyard if you pay them enough. They're not quite. That's not it.
And but I'm all near you soon.
They will play a old classic theater by next spring. Don't worry about it.
But I go to a lot of jam band festivals. They're always hanging out in those undercards.
I'm with you, though. I think Derek Trucks and Warren Haynes are two of the best guitar players going right now.
Oh, they're fine.
Yep. 100%.
Plus, I'm a big Allman Brothers guy, and they bring that flavor.
Yep. But for me, I mean, Sunday starts early with Little Stranger and Girl Tones. They're both fantastic. Little Strangers, kind of, I don't even know what to call them, like alt reggae fusion.
And that's a straight conflict for you there, then.
It is. And Girl Tones is a discovery from this lineup. They just rule. They rule. I really, really like them. Then, you got
it's kind
Allie
of a heavy,
AJ.
It's a heavy rock thing, right?
I mean, little crunchy. Yeah. It's good time.
That early in the day, you should be able to get from that and Witch pretty easily if you wanted to see half and half of those, if you care to do such a thing.
I agree with you, but also on the last day after Smokeland until like 5:30 in the morning.
Well, yeah, you might not
we're
be
gonna
awake
see,
until Monday.
Yeah, we're going to see what's in the tank. Motive is in there as well. I mean, that whole just like starting block is kind of a mess for me.
Yeah, you better have your heels on Sunday and your coffee and ready to go, man.
Let me tell you what actually happens most Sundays at Bonnaroo for me. I put a blanket outside one of the tents to see a show that I like, and then I end up like napping in between. So it may not be running around as much as I want.
The best made plans, you know how that goes.
Then next up, Blondshell. So Blondshell is my wife. One of her absolute favorite artists has been for a minute. She found him shortly after COVID ended and has been talking him up for a long time. I would encourage you to go check them out. before they get bigger. I think they have potential to get there. So
that's on the bat
for sure.
At 3 o'clock.
So yeah, you can do Allie and AJ and hang out the what? Do Allie and AJ straighten a blonde chill. You'd be good, Brian.
All right. Well, what else are you looking at here as the day goes
along? Right into trombone.
Trombone shorty. Get some of that Nola flair.
Another case of, if you want to see trombone, just go anywhere near the bayou and you'll find it.
If they haven't done a Friday night downtown show near you, then you need to get out.
Wonderful time. First time I saw trombone shorty was in the little Preservation Hall jazz installation thing back in like 07-08 with our buddy Jeff Styles here and locally in Chattanooga, radio guy. He turned me on to trombone shorty back in 07-08. So
it's a nice nod. You mentioned the Nola, that going back to the Bonnaroo roots.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see them on there.
Oh yeah, on the what? It's going to be spectacular. It's going to sound great. But what else are you looking at there, John?
Right up against it is San Jolo. I said on the previous show that is the most perfect Sunday EDM that you can do. Very melodic, very in your feels, still a dance party throwdown.
Forgive my pop culture ignorance here. San Jolo. That's just switching the letters, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Han Solo. Okay. Star Wars. Okay. Sorry. What is that? What is that?
That's what they always do. I mean, there's another letter switch right near that with
Fuckers.
Yeah. San Jolo is kind of up against Trombone Shorty and Japanese Breakfast. That's a bummer, but that may be the move based on how I'm feeling Sunday, or I may just not want to move at all. We'll see.
I'm always glad to see Japanese Breakfast back on the lineup because, you know, we have history with them. The first year that we were so excited, and then they did basically 50 minutes of sound check and didn't play. It's the worst show I've ever. I mean, it wasn't even a show.
But they got some fans.
But I know
they got
they're great.
A lot of fans.
It was so weird.
A lot.
That was just a bad memory. So I'm glad to see them back.
I don't know the first thing about them, but every year that I see it, seemingly they're on every lineup all the time, and it's all people are always excited about Japanese Breakfast. I'm like, what am I missing out here? But which stage in the middle of the day, if the sun's not blazing on you too much, can be fun, but the sun might be blazing on you. That'll ruin it quick.
And then right after that, like we said, Derek Trucks and his people on the what stage up against Big Gigantic. And that's a heartbreak for me.
Yeah, I could see how many would have an issue with that.
But I don't know. Big Gigantic, when the sun's out, it's just not quite the same for me. So,
well, I would guess most of this stage when the sun's out is not quite the same, right?
Yeah. I think that's honestly fair. Like, Big G and Daily Bread, well, the sun's still out. Daily Bread, that's sunset. That kind of vibe hits in. I think it will be fine. But Big G there, that's a bummer for me. So maybe Trucks. We'll see. After that, we got Clips. Get some hip hop out there. I am excited about that. Maybe some Daily Bread to, you know, just kind of ease into the nighttime. And then the deviousness level is off the charts, guys. It's off the charts. Kesha, Modest Mouse,
I think I know
LSZ.
Where you're going. Yeah. Okay.
Goodness, what is going on?
Well, I didn't know you were going to go LSZ. LSZ. I should have known, but I didn't. But yeah, Kesha and Modest Mouse up side by side. I think Kesha would have done better as an overall booked time slot on a Saturday evening. I think
where the Super Jam is.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the Super Jam roughly is. Yeah. I just, her vibe and the amount of people for the excitement for the throwback. Mm-hmm. I feel like by Sunday, the final act on which some of that can't wait to see Kesha might have started to fall off as, you know, people are starting to have their I've had enough moments. And is Kesha worth it at this point is all
I'm
saying.
I will tell you, there are two acts that my wife and I put on every single post-Bonnaroo survey. One is the White Whale of Lady Gaga, and then the other one is Kesha.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're the reason we have this.
It's us. You're everybody out there listening, you're welcome.
Well, we also don't know what one-day ticket sales might look like. to your point, Brian, of you know, people leaving. So that
could people come and want to see Kesha and Noah Kahan? I mean, for the price of a one day, it's not all that bad. You could catch a pretty good day of music for a hundred and, you know, less than $200 anyway, right? I think it's less than 200, but
yeah, it's like 140, I think, something like that.
I think for me, the takeaway today looking at all this is the addition of that in the field and the one for one, or the, you know, start stop and moving the wear stage. I'm very curious to see what those do to
just how it changes the calculus.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about, you know, things out in
center, outer.
Yeah.
So. One thing real quick I wanted to mention, I did make a note that I was going to get to earlier as I get to Thursday, which we don't need to spend much time on it for the obvious reasons. But Skrillex is that night from, you know, the headliner of the night, 10:30 to 12. And there was a lot of chatter to the point Festival commented on it, that will Skrillex stretch out longer than that? You know, will he play longer than his set of 90 minutes, which I'm actually a little disappointed by some of these headliners. Strokes, hour and 15. Rufus, hour and a half. Noah, hour and a half. The day of 2 hour or more headliners used to be a staple of this festival. Those seem to be gone. But I'm guessing my money would be on Skrillex does not go over that extent, the 90 minute scheduled time.
I could see 5, 10, 15 minutes, that type thing going
over. Yeah. I meant like they were talking like, will he go into
four hours?
No, he's not scheduled. He's not scheduled to do that. Yeah.
What I do think is it's going to go on the opposite direction. I think personally, Fortet and Skrillex, that line between the two is going to get very, very blurred because they collaborate a lot together. They play a lot of shows together. I think rather than it going that direction, I think it's actually going to come forward.
I hear what you're saying. So you almost see that being, maybe we won't use the word collaboration because we don't know that, but like that starts at 8:30, the Fortet. It sounds like that might just be 8:30 to midnight. Hold on to your shorts. Gotcha. Like this thing's going to go, they're letting it fly.
I have no insider information or anything.
Sure.
I think
we don't either. No.
I think that you could be looking at that. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think that covers a lot of it. And John, thanks for your insight on that. I'm telling you, even after talking about this for an hour, I am much more excited about this lineup. Yeah. It took 4 months.
That's what I was going to say.
It took four damn months.
Slow burn.
And now I'm ready to pick up on like some of these that I didn't necessarily mention exactly, like, I'm sorry. I should have already had it pulled up. But like the Sniffers. What is that? What is that even called?
The Sniffers.
Yeah. RC Drive. Just two to name. There's at least three or four more that I've gotten from people like Brad Steiner up in New York and others that are like, this and this and this. Know it. Love it. Learn it. What's the old clip from that movie?
I'm with you. It feels like enough to keep me entertained every day, all day. There's something there. And that's why I said earlier about the moving the stages. It just logistically makes sense. And I'm excited to see it.
I'm just very curious to feel it.
Yeah. We'll find out. But I mean, this is how ridiculous I am. Like, I mean, I like an aerial. I love aerial photography. Like, I love just the beautiful setting of that, because the what's kind of its own island, right? It's not even hardly Senru.
Yeah,
like, Senru's over here.
Yeah. The what is a different, it's a completely carved out.
Is over here. And I think it's just one of the most picturesque places, especially with people on the stage, but even when it's empty. And it feels like that stage dropped right in there. It's just going to aesthetically just irritate me. And none of this stuff matters. As long as people can navigate throughout the grounds and people are happy with performances and getting to the shows, well, that's all that matters
for the logistics of the festival. Yeah. But I just think, you know, you're going to mess up my aerial photography, man. Got that big circus tent right in the middle of that beautiful field.
But, who was it, Brian, that described you as the most positive, negative person they've ever known?
I like that, actually.
I know. That's you.
local guy. Joe Rogan wannabe, Clint Powell, here in the city of Chattanooga.
The most negative, positive, or most positive, negative person. I don't remember which
I
one.
Love this thing so much. Here's why it's terrible.
Yeah, it's going to suck, but I'm looking forward to it.
Most, what was it? Optimistically pessimistic, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, with a positive attitude.
All the stuff that irritates me, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I love. I just don't talk about those as much.
There it is.
But anyway,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And exciting. I needed some excitement, and we've got some.
I'm glad I could deliver. It's always fun coming on here talking to y'all. Barry, I'm glad the legal paperwork came through.
Yeah, Your 1099 or whatever went through. And I got to get one of those hats, man. That's a great looking hat.
Chat with your friends over there at Bonnaroo. They may have some in the warehouse.
All right.
No, one parting comment. They dropped a lot of the early 2026 merch, the official Bonnaroo merch. Last year, I for the first time ever bought a shirt in advance. Festival crashes and burns or soaks to, you know, goes underwater. I will not buy any merch in advance this year, just so everybody knows.
Well, I got my robe and pajama pants. That's all I need.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
All right. Thank you, guys.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.